I think it's been amazing this morning. You know, it's one of my sort of driving forces of the things I have a vision for this church, where there's many people who bring words and knowledge and things and contribute on a morning. And there's been a time where we haven't done that, and this morning it's like been a breakthrough. I really, really am excited by it. So I'd like to congratulate you, and I'd like to congratulate God really in it. I think it's been fabulous. So where am I in it? I don't know. So I'll find out where we are. So I'm just going to open in prayer. Yes, Lord, please let everything that I say be of you, and that has an impact on those that hear it. Amen. This morning's message is a continuation cautions that we've been doing, and it's from chapter 4, verse 2 to 6. So I'm just going to read it. This is from the NLT version. If you've got your Bibles, it'll be in whatever version you've got in front of you. From verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should, live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. That's a bit of a short passage. I read it instead of usually I get somebody else to read it. But I read it myself today. What does God have for us through that? We'll see. At the family service that most of us attended in February, John, I gave him a name check earlier, John asked this question. What does the church do regarding evangelism? And the answer, what Steve gave, was this, primarily. Alpha, which is running at the moment, right now, which I think is going very well from what I'm hearing. Healing on the streets, which we've sort of heard about. And I'm really, really full of admiration for those people who do that. That's really cold face stuff, that. Going on the streets and praying for people. Amazing. We've heard about Rise with J. John coming. That's also a work where we're all gathered together as churches in Blackburn, praying for each other, praying for things, praying for salvations in Blackburn, and for God to be realised more in Blackburn. We work with refugees. Some of them are sat over here. Lisa Norcross is doing a project. She's involved in a project with Welcome Churches and Together Lancashire. Another form of evangelism. John, you have been the main man on delivering leaflets to so many households in Blackburn. And as a leadership, and for me myself, I thank you for that. Family services. We do that as well. We had a great one a few weeks ago with the youth and Angela. Did a fantastic one, I thought. And there's another one at Easter. Invite your friends and family. Treasure Tots. It's a work that Beth's been doing at the surgery for young toddlers. Preschool at Bentham Road. And the last one I've got on this list is Christ Central. We go to Devoted, that takes some putting on. We go to New Day as well. These are all things that are funded from a central pot that which we give into. And that's your money that you contribute. And that's what happens to it. If we didn't contribute to them things, they wouldn't happen. Steve has got some big ideas. If you spend any time with him, you get scared. Because I'm scared of the things that he's got going through his head. But I'm still here. And so will you be, because you'll be involved. People are scared of the word evangelism. In these verses from his letter to the Colossians, I believe Paul is referring to what he does as an apostle and what we should be doing, sharing the gospel. Evangelism. People say that word and they go, you're off to Africa. Or the other side of the world. We can't all do that. Like we can't all preach. We can't all lead worship. Lots and lots of things we can't do. But as we've seen this morning, we all got gifts and we can all contribute. We've seen that in action today, this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Why has Adam handed me a cup of tea? How many of us make a cup of tea for family, friends, people at work, every single day? People already raising their hands. Near enough, every single person, apart from my son, makes cups of tea for people. And when he does make cups of tea, he makes cold ones and forgets to boil the kettle. He has learned. He's now started drinking coffee. But he doesn't make it himself. He gets Angela to make it. Well, there we go. Anyway. Making and sharing a cup of tea or a meal with someone can lead to sharing the gospel. Wonderful. Thank you, Carol. She made me brew in this cup this morning. Jesus shared meals and brews, probably, and wine with people. That's what he did. That's evangelism. That can be your evangelism. Let's go back to our passage and see how we get to here. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. These first few verses are about, Amy, speaking to God about people. How do we do that? First one, devote yourselves to prayer. How's your prayer and fasting going? From the things on the WhatsApp thing, we've got lots of thumbs up and various things, so I think it's going all right. And what I really believe, after seeing this morning, an increase in faith, where people are responding. We've stepped out, Steve has stepped out, more than anybody, to get banned by Virgin. And suddenly we're seeing words of knowledge this morning. Really, it's a join the dots type of thing here, which I've got a bit later on. But yeah, really, that's what's happening with your prayer and fasting. You might not realise it, but it is. It's a bit different, isn't it? Getting a text to pray about something specific. Some of us have a list of people we'd like to come to know Christ. Graham Webb mentioned it last week in his message. Parents, children, sisters, brothers, friends, etc. That's not a bad thing. And you may have been praying for these people for years. Like Graham said last week, you may be in a valley of unbelief about it. But like him, I want to encourage you to keep on praying for these people. Faith should not die because the answers don't come quickly. I'm going to repeat that because I think that's a word. Faith shouldn't die if the answers don't come quickly. We have to remember that God is sovereign and he has given us all free will, including the ones that we love. May I suggest devoting yourself to prayer is a really good thing. Maybe a short time, like we're doing now in the church, every day, praying up until Easter, or a longer commitment, committing ourselves to come to the prayer meetings on Sunday evenings on a regular basis, or something a bit more specific. Sometimes when a prayer request comes, I do it. Sometimes I skip over them, and some of them really resonate with me. And I go, boom, that's one. I have to pray about that. That's devoting yourself to prayer. My suggestion and Paul's instruction from what he said up there is that you engage in devotional prayer. You may be sceptical, but I've just seen this morning. Do it. See what happens. You may be surprised. Next one. Pray with an alert mind. Join the dots. I'm starting to join the dots of what's happened this morning. Can you see a pattern in things that are happening that you're praying about? People, situations. Being sensitive to the Spirit may take a bit of practice. It's about relationship. Jesus is offering you the cup this morning. He's offering it you to have a relationship with him. Spend time with Jesus. See what he's about. See what he's up to. Pray with an alert mind. Next one, Amy. Pray with a thankful heart. I know that might seem obvious, but thanking for God for what he has already done is very important, but sometimes we forget that. I do, I'm sorry to say. My prayers can be sometimes about the chaos that's going on in my life. Maybe yours are too. But sometimes it should be about, actually, I'm here breathing in and out. I'm alive. That's God. Paul writes, be thankful in your prayers. Pray for opportunities. In verse 3, Paul reminds us that he's still in prison. And he's there because he won't give up preaching the gospel. He wants to continue to preach about this mysterious plan. Just to be perfectly clear, this is no longer a mysterious plan. It is the good news of the salvation of through Christ and what he did on the cross. That's what he's about. We are all not apostles like Paul. We're all not preachers. But we do have testimonies and stories of what God's done in our lives. All of us. We should be ready to share them. And more importantly, we are not in prison. not a physical one anywhere. But are we in a spiritual one? Okay. Do you struggle sharing your faith? I think some of us can do. What life experience you've had up to this point may be relevant for somebody who's going through the same sort of stuff. And you've come out the other side of it. You've got experience. That could help somebody. Not sure how to do it? Listen to what God says to Gideon in Judges. Judges chapter 6, verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have." That's all he says. Nothing more, nothing less than go with the strength you have. Gideon needed tons of reassurance, if you read it. Wet fleeces, dry fleeces. I'm too little, I'm the smallest in my family, in the smallest tribe of Israel. Gideon won a mighty victory because God was with him. Be led by the Spirit. Have the cup of tea with him. Coffee, maybe. And in turn, give that cup to someone who may need it. I've got a cup over here. Somewhere. Freshly made. Say there's two. That's the one I've been drinking from. Somebody might need this. I don't know who I'm going to give it to, but I'm going to give it to Amy. There you go. Milk, no sugar. I'm not sure whether she needs any help or if spiritual prayer, but she's there going, I could see everybody's face from this direction. Next one. Pray that I proclaim this message. When I'm up here, right here, delivering a message, somehow I seem to be able to get it across what I believe God's got for you. It has to be the Holy Spirit, because I can't do it myself. I tried last night when we were at Savonis' thing, and all my words come out jumbled. Not when I'm up here for some reason. I don't know why that is. It's got to be God. Has to be God. Paul is an apostle. Not everyone is an apostle. Us guys who come up here and stand here, bring the word of God as best we can. You may call us preachers. But what I believe Paul is getting at here in this passage is that it's really important to deliver the good news about Christ in the right way. And that's why Paul writes, "Pray that I proclaim this message as clearly as I should." Personally, while I'm preparing my preaches, I get down on my knees. I don't know who's going to hear them or which part of it's going to resonate with them. But I do pray that some part of what I bring, reaches them. And I probably spend as much time praying about how I deliver it as actually what's in it. We are not all apostles or preachers, but we are called to spread the good news. How do we do that? The next two verses tell us exactly. So add verses
5 to 6.
This is from the NIV version. I've swapped versions because there's something in it and I like it. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. As before, about the thrust of the verses, the thrust of these verses are talking to people about God instead of talking to God about people. How do we do that? It says, live wisely. When people know you are a Christian, then you might as well paint a bullseye on your face. You might as well. They hold you to a different standard than they do themselves, and there's no getting away from that. But you are called to be different. That's what it says. What you do, what you say, how you act, where you go, what you watch, are just some of the things that unbelievers and sometimes believers look for in you. Live wisely. Do you live what you profess? Do you live wisely? Is your conversation full of grace? Is it seasoned with salt? Now then, this is the unrehearsed bit, and who knows what's going to happen next. Okay. It's falling apart. Right, I'm just going to move that. People like my visuals, I've been told. I've had bins, I've had bears, I've had hammers, I've had all sorts of things. Now you're all really, really weird. Right then. Here we go. Try not to swear like Gordon Ramsay, but actually Gordon Ramsay, when he's done TV programs about cooking and not the other stuff, he's actually doesn't swear at all. He involves his children in his stuff. It's amazing what he does. Right then, where shall I start? In here. Right, I'm going to make a sandwich. Alright, I like tiger bread. Yeah? I like tiger bread. I think it's got a bit of extra oomph to it. What's it is, it's amazingly messy. Amazingly messy. And we've got one of them. Another one of them. So there's a bit in the middle. Right, well, here we go. What have we got in here? Right then. You know when you've been sort of got into cooking a bit, when people start, you start asking for things like knives. Look at that, massive, wonderful. All right, this, can you read it? Do you know what it says? It says, your opinion was not in my recipe. That was a Christmas present from my sister-in-law, and this was a joint Christmas present because these are very expensive. And they're on MasterChef, the special ones from there. And if you see them on MasterChef, what do you see all the time when they're using these things? Blue plasters. Because they're amazingly sharp, amazingly sharp. If you're into cooking, get some really good knives and keep them sharp. Otherwise, no. Right, what have we got? Look at the bottom of here. Right, I'll start making a sandwich. When I make sandwiches, they end up sort of out of control sometimes. Angela goes, do you want, to the kids, she goes, do you want a my sandwich, do you want a daddy sandwich? Because there's a difference between the two. I always chop the ends off, because I don't like this bit. Okay? You see how sharp this thing is, it's amazing. There we go. Open that out. And then, what have we got here? Oh, I've got the butter out, yeah. Four. Don't know if anybody else likes four. Four is the spread of choice in our house. Spread of choice. Four. I'd like to say I practiced this at home, but I haven't. I've no idea how long this is going to be as a demonstration. I've no idea. Yeah? As long as people are listening and watching, and I manage to entertain and stuff, I don't know. I've probably got people who are going to pretend to be Greg Wallace and John Turow afterwards. Right, there we go. There we go. There's a bit on there. End off. Right, if you notice, this is an insulated bag. I have come prepared. Yeah. So everybody's going to say, I washed my hands before I started as well. Okay, so we've got some leaves. We'll have some leaves in it. Pretty green here. A few leaves. Ooh, hold on a minute. I don't want to put them on first. Because I want to put something else on first. You can see why people get frustrated with me when I'm start cooking. I'm just going, you've used everything in the house. Mayonnaise. I'm a mayonnaise person. I'm sorry, I'm a mayonnaise person. If you're not a mayonnaise person, you won't have any of this sandwich. Alright? If you're not a mayonnaise person, it's just too bad. Okay, mayonnaise person. Now then, ooh, what have we got? Yeah, ooh, yeah. Now then, I like a bit of spice in my stuff. Okay? A little bit of spice, a little bit of paprika. Okay? Just a little. What does it say? What does it say, bro? Seasoning. A little bit of seasoning. Is that what it said?
No, it's just salt. Not as much.
Whoa. Whoa. You're going to get a first sandwich. You're going to get a last sandwich now. Right, we'll back to my leaves. We'll back to my leaves. Back to my leaves. A few leaves. There we go. Few leaves. People are entertained anyway. You wouldn't expect this on a Sunday morning. I was at a church once, they were setting fire breathing. They did? Didn't they, Angela? They were fire breathing. It was amazing. Yeah. Fire swallowing. It was. Fire swallowing. Right then. Now then. Now this is something I've discovered. This is ham. This is a real, real ham, and it's Polish. It's been poor. You bite in the Polish bit. You know that thin stuff. You know some people have that thin stuff, don't they? I don't think there's enough flavour in that myself, personally. But I think that this stuff is fab. And you can cut some big chunks out of it. Yeah? Big chunks. And you can smell it because it's slightly smoky. Right? Fabulous. Can't talk now because I've got something in my mouth. Anybody liking the sandwich so far?
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it needs a bit more ham. Yeah, Adam, a bit of that.
Is it hard?
Yeah. And?
Decent.
Decent. See? Decent. I think that's the highest praise that Polish ham has ever had. Right. That's all we got. Ham. This is not yogurt. This is cheese, which I freshly grated this morning. Don't. Okay? This is a health thing from my person who phones me up and says lose weight. Don't buy the stuff already grated from the supermarket because it's covered in stuff that makes to keep things separated. And she actually described it as wood pulp.
Okay.
Grate the stuff yourself. Grate the stuff yourself. Definitely a lot better. Freshly grated. Look at that. Fabulous. Everybody still interested in this sandwich?
Yeah?
Yeah? I've got you all now, haven't I? It's amazing. Right. One last thing to go on the sandwich. Some tomato. Right. Every time I've sort of talked to people like cutting tomatoes up, they go, oh, my God, it never works. Why? Because it's not short. It's amazing. Having a sharp knife makes everything dead easy. There we go. You don't get this sort of service with all the technical stuff in Subway, do you?
No.
No?
No.
No? Everybody happy? Look at that. Oh, yeah. That's a nice sandwich. Right then, how many sandwiches? How many? What do you think? How many? About that. Right. That sandwich is mine. I'm not going to eat it. I was in awe of Pete the last time we went to the Ambleside thing. Yeah, he got this massive, like, packed lunch out. It had rats, it had everything. And I went, I ain't got anything at all. So I went back to Tangier and I said, I didn't have anything. So the week after, she went, the next time we went, she went, I'll make you some. I went, thank you very much. So when we got there, Steve went, fancy some chips? Oh dear. I had some chips. But as Pete has, which is what I think this is where Pete comes with it, is he honours his wife. I had my sandwich the day after. So I don't know what's going to happen tonight, Pete. Whether you've got a full spread being made for you and Steve will lead us astray to the chip shop, and whether you'll have to decide between your church elder and your wife, I'm not quite sure how that's going to work out. Well, there we go. So that is my tea, possibly. Right. What's the... Adam? No, you can't have one. All right. Oh, pants. That's one of Angela's. No, she said pigs. I said pants. I usually put a bit of salt on. Because salt, really? Salt on your tomatoes. Have you had salt on your tomatoes? Oh, I have to have salt on your tomatoes. Come here. Come here, Adam. Come here.
No, don't let
me
put it on.
No, I'll put it on. Right? Okay. Right. Okay, right. Like that. That's no salt. All right? Okay? All right. With salt. What do you think?
Tastes no different.
Puss it down. Bit of salt. Right, who wants this sandwich? You're still not getting, you're getting the last one, and you'll know why, you'll not even know, more know why afterwards, right. Any tickets for this one? There are three going. Dan? Carol wants one. There you go, Dan.
Okay.
Okay, that's the other one. Who wants this one? Carol would put her hand up first. I'll be running the kitchen there this way. This is now going on too long. This is going to sound absolutely terrible on the website. I just thought I'd tell you. They'll go, what are you doing? You know, we'll be struck off. Right, last one. Back to where we were. Back to the preach, if you know what I mean. What happens if I do this? Adam?
No.
You said you couldn't taste any different with salt. You said so. No, right, so that's that inedible. Yeah? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to eat that. Do our conversations end like that? Ooh. Oh, back to it now. Sometimes mine do. Especially about Brexit. Well, there you go. Right. Don't matter. I'm not suspicious. Super suspicious. So, spill. There we go. Right. I need my notes back. That's why I'm moving stuff. Duff sandwich. Too much stuff. Graham Webb last week, he said this when he came back from America. He alienated most of his family by saying things like, "You are going to hell." Not good. How do we deal with stuff like that? We look to the scriptures. What did Jesus say? In Matthew 5, verse 13-16, he says this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." What I'm trying to say is never be afraid of sharing your faith, but be gracious and sensitive in how and when you do it. I'm just going to read a little passage from this book, Galatians to Colossians by Phil Moore. Just so you know who he is, Phil Moore leads Everyday Church in London. He serves as a Bible teacher and evangelist within New Frontiers. And today's message, apart from the sandwich and various other bits, some of the research comes from this. So I'm going to read what he says. Paul tells us to speak graciously and attractively, because it is possible to win an argument but lose a person. Paul Jones, the lead singer of the 1960s pop group Manfred Mann, dates his Christian conversion to a television debate in which he argued over faith with the newly converted Cliff Richard. He recalls humiliating the more famous singer by rubbishing his faith, but he also remembers how being overwhelmed by Cliff Richard's gracious response to his point scoring. If we are concerned about scoring points against unbelievers, we will only score own goals. But if we share in a manner that shows we have been clothed with the Holy Spirit, we will win people to Christ, even if we lose the argument. Sometimes we can win the argument and lose the person. That would be sad. Good sandwich? Good sandwich? We're still eating them. They haven't thrown them away. So to conclude, devote yourselves to prayer. Pray with an alert mind. Pray with a thankful heart. Pray for opportunities. Live wisely. Let your conversation be gracious and be seasoned with salt. I'm just going to finish in prayer there. Yes, Lord, I do thank you for this morning. I thank you. When we all become Christians, Lord, you have seasoned us with salt. You have sprinkled us with that Holy Spirit, Lord. You've come with us and within us. And I really do pray, Lord, that we are wise and gracious as we spread that salt, because that's what we've been told to do, among the people that we know and the people that we love. Amen.